Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I bid you welcome to the very last hour on the show, Morning Crossfire. We started from 5 a.m. Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome to Nigeria's biggest conversation, the Morning Crossfire. Thank you for joining us. I am Sherif Quadri. We're streaming live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you. This time, let's focus more on the situation in the northern part of the country. Should the federal government declare a state of emergency in the entire northern region? I have Coalition and Northern Group, a group that has about 52 independent groups wrapped under it. I have them on the show today. Dr. Nawaila Muhammad Bello joins me via the telephone this morning. Dr. Nawaila, morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Mr. Sherif.
If you are just tuning in, welcome. You can let us know what you think because we're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. So before we get to the telephone and the WhatsApp messages, let's know what you think on the live stream there. But research has shown that fear and insecurity have become normal in many parts of the northern region of the country. Insecurity has spread through the very fabric of the northern life and elsewhere. As the roads have become more dangerous, the health services less reliable, and the public sector more vulnerable to corruption. Now, speaking on a national television, Arise TV to be very precise, last year in November, the Sultan of Sokoto, Mohammed Saad Abubakar, said that northern Nigeria is the worst place to live in the country. In his words, let me quote him, in his words, it says, "The security situation in northern Nigeria has assumed a worrisome situation. People think north is safe, but that assumption is not true. In fact, it's the worst place to be in this country because bandits go around the villages, households and markets with their AK-47 and nobody's challenging them. We have to be sincere and seriously find solutions to the problem. Otherwise, we find ourselves soon in a situation where we would lose sleep because of insecurity." End quote. The Sultan of Sokoto Saad Abubakar speaking there last year. Just last year. Now, speaking of solution, Zamfara State Governor Bello Matawalle, he has called for a state of emergency in the northern region of Nigeria. Over what? The insecurity. He made the call on Wednesday, last week, at a meeting with Assistant Inspector General of Police in charge of Zone 10. His name is Ali Janga. He met with him at the government house in Gusau, the state capital. Now, he said, let me quote him, he said, "Many parts of the state were literally governed by the bandits who were having a field day in virtually all the rural areas of the state. Villages were being raided in the most inhuman manner, possible massacres carried out, and those who survived the attacks were subjected to all forms of indignities, including rape and torture. There was a general sense of despondency everywhere, as the entire rural economy, which is largely agrarian, had collapsed, posing the threat of starvation." End quote. Governor Bello Matawalle of Zamfara. Dr. Nawaila, again, thank you for joining us. I'm going to start with that statement by Governor Matawalle. What's the position of the Coalition of Northern Groups on the call by the governor on the federal government to declare a state of emergency in the region, northern region?
Mr. Sherif, let me thank you first for giving me the privilege to talk on this issue. We have been calling for the past 2.5 years on this issue to the federal government, to the Northern Governors Forum, to the governors individually. We have reached out, we have written letters, we have gone on press, we have released press statements, we have granted interviews on this same issue for 2.5 years. We are just an NGO, non-governmental organization, but we foresee these things coming. And for the past 2 years, I've been giving them red alert. You have to do something on this issue. Now, that aside, Gumi takes the privileges of being an Islamic scholar to reach out to these people. We don't know the format, the route he took to reach out to these people.
Okay.
He now said, let's dialogue. Let's know what's the reason why these people are doing this thing. And let's reach out to them. Those that are willing to surrender, give them backing so that we use them to fight those that refuse to surrender. The federal government called him all sorts of names that they will not negotiate with terrorists. Now, our governor is saying, do the same thing that we have been telling you for the past 2.5, a year and a half ago to do. Now, our governor is telling us this. The governor should be the ones that foresee things. They have advisors, they have commissioners, they sit weekly on this kind of issues. So, first of all, to our dismay is, why now? When you say, come and negotiate, or come and do things with, like, if you want someone to come to the table with you, you call him when you have a bargaining chip.
What do you think will be the subject of the negotiation, Dr. Nawaila?
That one of the problem is you call them to negotiate. First of all, why do you call them when they attack the most sophisticated security area in the country? When they carry a military personnel out of that place and were demanding, rumor has it that they were demanding $200 million to release a military officer. We all thought that the military will turn the country upside down by now. That by now he is back. That by now they have started destroying all the bushes. That by now we are singing praises of the military, like they did to the Shiites when they blocked their road. We were expecting something similar or what? Because these guys killed a military officer.
You're saying that the government should have called them to a round table to negotiate. I'm asking the question, what would they be negotiating based on? I mean, do you know their grievances to start with?
Well, there had been a situation where, you know, Matole himself started negotiating, talking to them. And some of them heard their grievances, like they were abandoned in the bushes, people have been rustling their castles, and now they lack Western education, they lack religious education, they have no fallback plans, because the only thing they know in life is rearing animals, and now the animals have all been roasted. They lack hospitals, they lack nothing, they are just in the bush doing nothing.
Right.
So their life for them now is like, we have nothing to fall back to. Living and death is all the same thing. So they don't care if they live or die.
If I may add, Dr. Nawaila, I'm glad that you went to that area of them asking for, you know, better life for themselves, schools, Islamic education, and the rest of them. But if I may remind you, Masari of Katsina, His Excellency, said some time ago, about 2 weeks ago, that he provided all of these things to the bandits in the forest in that state, and only for them to renege. And we all saw all of these things that Masari did. I mean, we saw when some bandits laid down their arms, only for them to go back to the bush, because what Masari told the general public was that these bandits are many, many groups. So if you decide to negotiate with one, what is the assurance that another group will follow the negotiation? Another group will not go back and sabotage, because that's what Masari said happened in Katsina. So who is negotiating with who?
Okay. Let me explain. There is not a clear terrain as how many groups they are. They are not organized as how the Boko Haram are organized. But one thing is, what has he done to those he negotiated with? Okay, agreed. These people, you negotiated with them and give them money to stop. Our argument is not to give them money to stop, but engage them in fighting those that are in the bushes. Masari called people to pick up arms and defend themselves.
That's right.
So why did he not engage those people that are now have been trained on how to fight and know the terrain better than the villagers, because they live there? They are in, it's like, I am a criminal, I know the psyche of the criminal. Why did he not use those people to fight those criminals? He said, okay, we are all humans and we can all die, and that we have to learn to defend ourselves, not rely on security issues. That's even complicating the issues more.
if you use those that you have negotiated with to fight those that are not ready to negotiate, are you not even creating a bigger monster?
No, you are not. Because already you have one monster there, fight there. These are repented monsters. Like now the cleanest one. You are not going to fight, allow them in, only them. There are securities that you have been paying. Put them together. They should guide the security operatives into the bushes. Not, you should not just be waiting, like sitting in the cities and waiting for them to attack. And then, like, hit you. You should meet them there, where they're... These people know their bases, know their houses. In fact, they can name some. The problem is, we don't even know what the... Nobody knows what the government is doing to checkmate all these issues. Okay, we have heard him said that he have granted an amnesty to some. Where are they? What's the procedure? How did he... Which format did he follow? Did he just give them money and tell them you can go? Or what? There have not been details on that.
By and large,
go and come. It's still their issues. They are not doing what they are supposed to do.
Do you think the governors of the Northern Region are helpless at this point?
No. I don't think they are helpless. I think they are not coordinated. For instance, the policies El Rufai is applying to checkmate this banditry in Kaduna is different from the policies Masari is applying to his people. It's different from what Matawale is applying to his people. So if I said, for instance, Kaduna said, don't pay ransom.
Right.
And then another person there allowed the payment of ransom and said he wants to negotiate. Simple. And another governor there said, okay, I don't care. You can easily come to a place that say, don't pay ransom, pick, go to a place that say, pay ransom, fight for them to submit the money there. So people, and if another person is said, another governor said, I don't care, then that bush will be at their safe haven. So there has to be a unanimous agreement between the governors on how to tackle this.
The issue of the governors not being coordinated is not new. And I agree with you that they are not being coordinated because you're not the first person that will say it. Governor Nasir El-Rufai of Kaduna said, mentioned the issue of launching a coordinator, that they've done it before and that it worked for them for a brief moment, that they did it with, you know, in sync with the military, that they contributed money and gave to the military to launch an all-out attack against the bandits, only for some governors to renege and stop contributing. Then he stopped as well. Now that we are here, the governors of that region are not well coordinated. What do you think should be done by the central government, the federal government?
Pay more attention to the issue. For instance, we had, after the NDA kidnapping and attack, I read online one of the statements of Isaac Garba Shehu that the president will say now they will see what will happen. Why? What kind of statement is that? Does that mean that the federal government is just there sitting, not doing anything? They waited, and all those attacks are not a problem. It's only the attack of NDA that will now arise the military to attack to do something. If you look at this kind of statement, when you read the statement coming out from the presidency, clearly you know that there is like lack of commitment in those statements. For instance, someone telling you that it's now that we start working. Now, okay, they said they will start working. What have they done to date from the attack of NDA? There has been another attack close to ABU's area. Rumor has it that there has been attack in Wodelia close to Kano State University of Science and Technology.
When was it? Today?
Day before yesterday. But it's just rumor. Students saying it.
Okay.
So I can't verify because the media have not carried it.
Okay. Yet. Okay. Now let me talk to you about the presidency that you mentioned here, which is part of what we're supposed to talk about. Garba Shehu was speaking just some days ago, and he said that it's inconsequential. It's not a big deal if bandits and killer herdsmen are not proscribed, if they are not called terrorists. And then, you know, people have been reacting to it that, you know, there's need to look at the names being given to these killer headers and bandits. What's the position of CNG on this?
That's what I just told you now, that there, it's a lack of commitment from the government. It's the lack of will.
No, I want you to be very direct with me. Should the bandits be declared terrorists? Should the killer headers be declared terrorists?
They are. What do terrorists do? What do terrorists do? That's what you just look at it. If we proscribe Boko Haram for attacking people as terrorists, we call IPOP terrorists. Why can't we call them terrorists? So, I don't even... It angers me to see that the argument is...
It's coming up in the first place.
It's coming up. It's existing. Because it's not even calling them. It's doing action to checkmate these things that happen. People are dying. People are losing their jobs. People are losing money. Mm. People are terrified. And when you are terrified and you have unemployed youth, a lot of unemployed youth, and they know this business is not the most lucrative businesses, people will tend to join soon. So you are giving opportunities for other people to join. And now we are saying that these are people that are uneducated, that are coordinating and doing it. Assume the educated, intellectual, intelligent people have joined this. What will happen? So it becomes worse. We need to tackle it. We have been calling for the past 2 years. Pay more attention on this issue. Nobody knows what will happen at the tail end. If people will be demanding 100 million, collecting 100, and rumors is that another person collected 180 million for ransom. What do you expect he will do with 180 million? He said he will buy more guns and then recruit more people to start doing this more.
What do you say to the rumor going round, and this rumor is not new, by the way, that this present government is pampering the bandits and killer headers?
I would not say they are pampering them. I would say they are not paying more. They are not even considering them. They are too busy collecting loans, too busy spending the money, too busy paying attention in what is not relevant. For instance, if you are, let's assume your policies are going to work and that you want to build infrastructure. There are certain states now, villages and cities in the north, that you can't build anything because you have no control over that place. So, and your basic, the most important responsibility of a government is to protect the life and property of its citizens, which you are failing. In fact, you are not failing, you have failed. So what else do we expect? We don't even call, we will not say they are pampering them, but they are not doing what they are supposed to do.
When
for the governor to come out and tell you, take arms and defend yourself.
When we return from this break, Dr. Nawaila, I wanted to tell me exactly if you feel that President Muhammadu Buhari should be impeached. Going by the insecurity situation, not just in the north, in the entire country, because that has been the call from some quarters, all right? But let's go to break. Lagos, Nigeria, if you're just joining us, you're welcome to the show. It's Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info. Dr. Nawaila Muhammad Bello joins us via telephone. He's from the Coalition of Northern Groups, a group that has about 52 independent groups in its fold. We'll go on a quick break. When we return, we'll talk some more. Stay with us.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Crossfire. This morning we're examining the possibility of a state of emergency being declared in the northern part of the country. I have Dr. Nawaila Muhammad Bello on the show. This morning is from the Northern Coalition of Northern Groups, CNG. Dr. Nawaila, thank you again for joining us on the program this morning. Let's do it this way. Yeah, if you're listening in and you'd like to join the conversation, we'll begin to take your calls now and your messages, because we're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. Let's know what you think about our conversation this morning thus far. The female only line is down right now. Not from our end. It's from our service provider. So apologies to all the female listeners who May have been trying to get us things since morning. Apologies for that. As soon as our service provider restores this, we'll get you on the radio as soon as we get signals from our service providers. But in the meantime, you can send us WhatsApp messages 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805. Or just call the general line 0700-993-993-993. When you're calling, please go straight to the point. Very, very important. Go straight to the point. We'd like to make sure that we get in as many thoughts as possible. We're going to speak with our first caller, Benjamin, right away. After Benjamin, then we'll take two more calls before I go back to my guest. Benjamin is in Ikeja. Benjamin, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Yes, please.
Yeah, my compliments to your guest. I've been listening to him, and he has made very valid points. See, and thank God that he's one of the body from the north, which is a very vital issue, which he has pointed out. And one of the things one of his vital, important points he made that I hold was all about the budgeting and the spending of government, which we don't even know where the money is going and where the issue of recovery money, looting and all that is coming from. And all these things have been part of the issues that are so complicating. And Nigeria is still at the state where we are today. And I would equally like to use this opportunity to advise the government that the president should do more. The president shouldn't be listening to what other special advisors or whatever the Antonio or whatever the others are telling him. He should go and see by himself.
All right.
The president should take time and visit some place like the NDA, that happened there. Now he should go there and see what transpired there.
Yeah.
He should meet those generals.
Yeah.
Talk hand in hand with them, dialogue with them, find a solution to the critical issue.
All right.
And the issue of
Benjamin.
Benjamin,
thank you. We need to go very quickly now. Let's take another call. Emmanuel is in Ogun State. Emmanuel, hi, morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sharif.
Morning to you.
Yeah, thank you. Your guests have spoken well. But at the same time, you know, the issue of the presidency and then the state of emergency, for me particularly, I'm not in support.
Okay.
And then your guests, you know, saying that the president has not done well. We all know that the president is a failure completely. But at the same time, the North tolerated this man. I tell you, you know, I've spent almost 40 years in the North.
Okay.
Especially among the Fulanis. So I even understand them that I understand my own, tribe safe.
Okay.
But if North should stand up today and tell Buhari to go, I tell you, today Buhari will go.
Mm.
I know them.
All right.
They are very, very steadfast. And these people that are not cowards,
Emmanuel? Oh, we lost Emmanuel's call. Emmanuel, thank you so much for calling me. Dr. Nawaila, let me come to you. What's the position of Coalition Northern Groups on the NDA attack?
Our statement has been clear. We believe the government. We clearly voice out our anger and tell the world how bad our security situation is in the North. If the most sophisticated, the people responsible for defending us, the people we rely on and call for when we are in danger are being attacked, then what will happen to the common man? So we were clear, we were disappointed, and we have voiced out our anger. But I want to answer on one of your questions that if the Fulani will come out and see the president must go.
Okay.
Dr. Hakim and the Northern Elders Forum have called for his resignation, not once, not twice.
Okay.
The CNG have called for his resignation, not once, not twice. In fact, we thought, owing by the standard we held him high, and the standard we were made to believe he holds, that noticing that he has failed, will write a resignation by himself, telling us, I have failed, I don't think I can do this, and I have resigned. We are not expecting him to even be impeached, but rather we are expecting him to resign by himself, telling us that he has failed.
Hmm.
They're not are not as people have been displaying us, that we are the force behind Buhari. I believe when he was voted, the Nigerians voted for him. He has won a lot of Southwest states. The AP is, his party is now even reaching for the East. They have states in the East. So it's not the only... I believe that they're not unanimously backed him because a lot of people fault Jonathan and thought that Jonathan is not doing well. It's actually not working when it comes to security. And that's what was felt to the North to vote for Buhari. You all know that. You know that. Everyone knows that. But the North have, in so many occasions, said he has failed. A lot of influential... I know of one of the retired armies that spoke to Channel. I know of someone that came to your show and said Buhari has failed. I know of numerous people that
quite have a number
in the media.
Quite a number.
The government, and they are from the North, and they are influential, and they have told the world that he has failed. So it's not like the North entirely backing him. Of course, those that are benefiting from his government, like the part of the Yoruba people that are benefiting from his government, and the part of the Igbos that are benefiting from his government, will always back him. That's the sabotage we have in our government. The patriotism is not there at all. It's what I gain. It's not what the country will gain. It's what I will gain. And it's unanimous. It's everywhere.
Right. Let me talk to you about the conversation around granting amnesty to repentant Boko Haram ISWAP fighters. What's the position of Coalition of Northern Groups on that?
I'm sure the Coalition of Northern Group also talked to you. You're sure.
I'm asking you now. I've already asked Mr. Abdulaziz. Yes.
He is. The point is that we have, it's like two-edged sword. If you refuse to accept them, they might go back and empower those people. And then, if you accept them, how would you tell the people that they have killed that now these people are cleared? But all we believe is the prerogative of the government to forgive or not to. That's the decision of the government. But then, the people have the right to accept them in the society or not. That's also the right of the people. So whatever you do, the government will do what it wants and the people will do what also they want. So you might push him back to the society and create chaos. Because I'm sure if someone sees someone that killed his father and his mother back moving freely, there is a high percentage that that person will try to fight back.
Indeed.
And when you choose to be part of the government, then you choose to make this kind of hard decisions.
Indeed.
So we actually have no say in this. And I'm sure we have voiced our opinion in your show.
That's right. You have, actually. You have, just to be very clear, you have. Let's take some more calls from our listener out there. Then I'll come back to you because I needed to be very blunt with my last question to you because that's the essence why we're having this conversation. I just want, you know, a direct answer from you on that question on whether or not it's the northern region is due for a state of emergency or not. Now you are aware of Senator Naila's son that was killed. Exactly. So we'll come to that in a moment. But let's take some calls in. 0700-993-993-993. Let me see if we can get them through some WhatsApp messages on the show this morning. I can see your calls on... I can see your thought on Facebook. Ifeoma Oluku on Facebook says, Buhari, don't fail woefully. If you declare a state of emergency in the northern region, it will be okay. But the presidency, too, should also be declared as such. The results are... I too like my region and religion. Okay, Ifeoma, thank you. You lost me for a bit there. But let me take this one here from Jid Jamil. And it says, a declaration of state of emergency in the north won't solve the problem. Rather, make it compulsory for the youths to join the armed forces because armed forces themselves suffered lack of manpower. That's Jid Jamil on YouTube who sent that in. Thank you. Let's speak with Anthony right now. Anthony is joining us from Ebutemeta. Anthony, morning to you.
Hello, Mr. Sherry.
Morning to you.
And good morning, Dr. Nawaila.
Morning.
My contribution to this matter is this. Dr. Nawaila has spoken well, but Dr. Nawaila is also being economic with the truth. The North somehow have agreed and supported what was going on. It is now boomerang. It is now fighting against everybody. Can you hear me, Sharif?
Loud and clear.
Okay. It is now fighting against everybody. It is like a situation where a lion entered the town. And instead of joining hand to kill the lion, some people climbed the back of the lion and was directed the lion and say, look at somebody here eating. Look at somebody here eating. And a time comes when the lion does not have anybody to eat again. We now remember, oh, people are behind me. So he now brings them down to eat them. Mm-hmm. What we are saying is that we have condoned this for a very long time. It is now backfiring. And nearly everybody will suffer it, including those who kept quiet a long time ago. Have a blessed day.
Mm-hmm. You too. Thank you, Anthony, for your call. Appreciate it. Dr. Nawalet, would you like to respond to that?
Okay, let me start by responding to the first person that said the army, we need to recruit first the northerners to join the army. A lot of people want to join the army. There is no slot in the army to recruit them. And then you can't force someone to go to battle because it doesn't mean he'll fight for you. And then you can't train a lot of people also. When it comes to firearm, those people that are not patriotic are not willing to die for the country, then you are empowering more terrorists because they will go out and join any of the terrorist groups. So forcing people to join the army is actually not a wise decision, but rather selecting the people that are willing and capable of being in the army to be in the army.
Right, right.
And then when it comes to him saying, I clearly told you that when the first, during the first January, they not unanimously vote for Buhari. And I've told you how he was sold to us. And we believe, judging by the track record, we were made to believe. Because most of the people, most of us that voted in that election were not born when he was the president then. So it's just history. We learn from history that he is a dedicated person, he's a serious fella, he's an uncorruptible individual, he's this, he's that. And we bought that and vote for him. A lot of us change when it comes to the second tenure. A lot of us did not vote for him. And one reason, I don't want to go into politics, but one reason is a lot of northerners saw Atiku not as an alternative to Buhari. So if you see that, some people see that there is no choice between the two and decide to sleep at home. But those that are benefiting from him massively mobilize, those that are willing to collect. Because when people are in abject poverty, 500 might change your mind. So people are hungry, people are in abject poverty. You give them food, they will do what you want. So people will go and vote, some of them. A lot of people did not vote. If you look at how the voting goes, look at the trend, look at the number of people that voted. Right. You know, a lot of people did not vote. So I don't want to go into politics. I'm trying to stay away from politics because we are clearly focusing on how to tackle security situation.
Exactly. Let's not go political at all. Dr. Nawaila, my question, the reason we're here is about the clarion call made by the Zamfara governor, Matawali, saying that a state of emergency be declared. I know we started with it, but let's end with it so we can get your clear-cut answer. On that, let me paint a picture. I read a story about bandits now, owning blatantly running economy in some local councils, some states in the north. They have vehicles, they have trucks, they have bikes, they have tricycles that they've given to.
Rumors has it that there are areas that the bandits are like the court.
Exactly.
They tell you what to do.
Exactly.
You cannot farm without paying them.
Exactly.
Dues. You cannot harvest without paying them dues. They choose the girl they want to marry and they pick her out.
Exactly.
And I
also gathered that even the villagers, the community people, also protect them. Because they get their livelihoods from these bandits, from businesses that these bandits operate. And I would say that the leaders of these bandits don't live in the bush anymore. They live in these communities, being protected by...
I do not agree. The point, Sharif, I want to make clear is that you have two choices.
Yeah.
If you give them out that these are the people attacking, and then after a while, the military will not protect you.
Hmm.
You are left at the mercy of those bandits.
On your own.
On your own. That's the issue we have been saying. People have proven, it's well documented that people have been saying, these people are criminals. But if you tell them they are criminals, who will guarantee your safety and your security?
Hmm.
Because the military will not live in your village to protect you. And you are not equipped to move to the cities and live.
Hmm.
You rely on farming. And your only farmland is in that village. Hmm. I will not agree that these people are protecting them. Hmm. Rather, I will agree that these people are just trying to mind their business and stay in the bushes because that's where they can earn their livelihood. But I am sure if they are guaranteed security,
right,
these people will tell you, these are the bandits. And I'm sure they normally, judging from what we had, is they do come to the villages, ransack the villages, collect all their food, the remaining food,
yeah,
their vegetables, yeah, and freshables,
yeah,
and move to the mountains.
Hmm.
And it's like now, I know that you have to gather something like weekly. Now, what I expect the military to do is, being intelligent, being the fact that you are trained to trace these people.
Right.
They told you that these guys will come and collect food. Why don't you keep some people to act as normal citizens in these villages and stay for 2 or 3 days?
Hmm.
To notice the terrain, the patterns on how these people come, pick the food and go back. Then you go and report to your people and then you attack them.
Dr. Nawaila, should the president declare a state of emergency in the northern region?
We have been calling for this for the past 2.5 years.
Yes or no? Should he declare a state of emergency?
Yes, he should.
Dr. Nawaila, thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thank you very much.
All right. Lagos, that's our show. I'm Sherif Quadri. I'll be back on your radio. I'm not going anywhere. Table Talk is next, right? Okay. We've got Wemimo. He's on leave, so I'll be in charge of the Table Talk. But after Table Talk, yeah, it'll be time to join the Tech Airs on WhatsApp Lagos. In the meantime, that's our show. Congratulations to the person that played Just a Minute at 6:50 this morning. I know, you're shocked. Let's go to break. Good morning to you.
This is an infomercial.
The Niger Shopping
Festival. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.